Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh. I'm Jennifer. This is part two of our scooter chat during which we talk to a Bird mechanic. So let's just jump right in.
So one aspect of the scooters that hasn't received as much discussion is that it does give people another way to make a few extra bucks. I'm joined today by Dylan Bowders, who works as a charger for Bird scooters. And you can sign up with Bird and Lime to be a charger, meaning you're the person who goes out there, collects the scooters, and you take them home and plug them in overnight to make sure they have a full charge. And Dylan here is going to tell us a little bit more about it. So first, how long have you been a charger?
Well, I was invited to become a charger prior to their launch officially. The very first meeting that we had was on July 11th, and the scooters dropped on July 12th, first thing in the morning. So for that long.
What caught your interest? Why were you invited? Are you like, you signed up way in advance or something?
It could be a long story. Long story short, my fiance and I were in San Diego in May, and they had both Bird and Lime, and I'm an engineer. I have an engineering mind. I'm an engineer by day, and electric scooters running around town only last so long. So I needed to know how they got back on the, how they got recharged. And so I looked into both the Bird and the Lime program and signed up to be a charger at that point. Of course, they weren't in Raleigh at the time. And I got a text message one day in early July to if I was still interested to come meet up and grab some scooters and put them out.
Cool.
It was a little more organized than that, but
Yeah. But were they already announcing that they were coming to Raleigh, or you're thinking, I'm just going to do this, you know, anywhere?
If you follow Bird's deployment strategy, they, I think, very intentionally don't announce that they're coming to town.
Right.
They want to, it's kind of shock and awe. And then, you know, they want the riders to essentially fuel their cause for sticking around, which I think if anyone has probably tried to get pre-approval for something, in this case, it's, act now, ask for permission later.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that in past experiences here in Raleigh. So can you tell us a little bit more about collecting the scooters and then distributing them? Like, walk us through how all that works.
Sure. Essentially, scooters are available for pickup by chargers after 9 p.m. or before 9 p.m. if they're below 15% battery. The other potential indication for them to be picked up is if they've been damaged, reported damaged, in which case a mechanic comes and picks them up. So a charger has a different view inside of the same app, and they can see where the scooters are, how much the bounty is for that particular scooter, or you know, they refer to them as Birds, obviously. And they go and pick them up, put them in their task list, which means they now kind of own the responsibility of the scooter and being charged. And then the next morning, they have between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. to put them into very specific areas called nests. It's all, of course, Bird terminology. And once they're properly released into their nests in the morning, that task list entry becomes an earning entry, which then shows the bounty, whether it's $5 or something upwards of $20 potentially.
Okay. And for the listeners who may not be familiar, my understanding is the lower the battery on the scooter, the higher the bounty.
Not necessarily. If it's closer to say 5% or less, it means it's probably been sitting there waiting for someone to pick it up for a while. In which case, that's usually the indicator or the metric that makes it a higher bounty. Only certain people probably even know what their actual metrics are. I suspect that also if it has a weak GPS signal, which means it's not in an outdoor area, it potentially could have a higher bounty as well. Parking garage, if it's been in a parking garage for a long time, then that potentially could make the bounty go up. But it's usually because it hasn't been picked up and it's been on the map for a while.
You mentioned mechanics, and I think you said something about maybe you being a mechanic. Are you also doing that, and what's that like?
So I'm technically not a charger anymore. I'm actually a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
I did the charger thing for several months, and it was fine. It was a good time. I think Bird probably has too many chargers in the area now, just because I was able to get a certain number before, and now it's kind of harder to get that same number of scooters. And for me, I did it, or my fiance and I did it because it was fun. And I think maybe that novelty has worn off a little bit, so now I'm just trying something different.
Sure.
And so at this point, I go out and collect scooters that are on the mechanic map. And then it's anything from changing out a flat tire to fixing a brake lever, replacing a kickstand, In some cases, it's electronics, in which case it's either a reset, or if it can't be fixed, it goes back to the warehouse, and then it goes on a truck back to LA.
Okay. I wondered about that. I saw one Friday night that literally was missing the entire electronic piece where the barcode scanner was and everything. I was like, well, that's like fully broken. Not going to happen.
It's a damaged brain. And usually in that case, they go back to LA.
Very cool. So you mentioned you were doing it for fun. I was wondering if I hear there are some stories out there of people who do this and you know, it's part of their extra money, making a buck. But for you, it's mostly just...
It's no different than Uber. Yeah. Some people do Uber on the side just to have something to do and make some extra money and maybe enough to pay for the car, whatever it may be. Same thing goes in the charger community. I run a Facebook group here locally for the Triangle, and there's about 200 members, and some of them, they rely on it for putting food on the table.
Oh, wow. Do you ride the scooters yourself?
Well, as you saw when I got here, I ride a one-wheel. That's my chosen mode of last-mile transportation around downtown. But yes, I do, especially if my fiance and I are going out at night and I don't want to have my one-wheel tagging along with me, then we'll hop on a Bird, take it to Raleigh Times or Architect or Fayetteville Street or wherever it may be and drop it off and take advantage of the last-mile rideshare.
Yeah, that makes sense. Plus, maybe she can't ride on it with you. So
you can't get two people on the one wheel, no, but she's able to ride it also separately.
Yes, exactly. So what do you think about the whole discussion about the idea of banning them?
That's extreme. I think having watched the city council meeting, and there really were no proponents of banning. There were proponents of regulations, and after hearing some of the different arguments, I can absolutely see both sides. If I had to put my cap on for strict regulation, I think I could make a case for it. I'm obviously a proponent of birds existing in Raleigh for lots of reasons, and I can argue that point too. I get that they are taxing from a regulation perspective and also just infrastructure, whether it's more bike lanes or marking sidewalks for parking them and things of that sort. And as it stands today, Bird doesn't contribute to any kind of budget or finance to fuel that. So it makes sense to put a program in place where Bird's paying for or contributing to some of those programs. I found it a little surprising that the police force had only ever served two citations. I've heard rumors that potentially that's actually not even true, that they haven't actually served citations. But regardless, I would have hoped that to be in the double digits at the very least, given some of the laws that have been broken on scooters that aren't specific to scooters, that are just laws that are being broken. And I think that gives the program a bad name. It certainly gives it a bad image. And the scooters are facilitating the action, but it's still the people that are doing it. And I'm just a little surprised that there hasn't been more action on it. Politically, I get it. It makes sense. Let's wait until we can use that as leverage to justify, you know, the tax, if you will. So it makes complete sense, and I can't say I completely disagree with it.
All right. One of the rules they're discussing is changing the times you go out to drop off the scooters, which I was curious, from a charger perspective, wouldn't that affect your work? I think it said no earlier than 7 a.m., and that seems like a bit logistically challenging. What do you think about that?
I'm not even sure what the purpose is of changing the current schedule for that, to be honest. 7 a.m. absolutely changes most chargers' ability to do this as a side job. If it's your full-time job, 7 a.m., whatever, that's fine. But from a charger's perspective, yes, that definitely changes things. I'll get up at, I mean, when we were doing charging a lot of scooters, potentially getting up at 3:30 in the morning, getting them staged, ready to go, dropping them off at 4 o'clock, going back to bed for a couple hours. The flip side of that from a rider's perspective is I want to go into work at 6:30. Now there's no birds available for me to ride. Some people start work at 7 o'clock, so it doesn't really benefit them at that point. I have an understanding that Bird Legal and City Council are probably going to change that at least to 6 a.m. Still don't quite understand why they would change it in the first place, but...
I don't know. Yeah. It was just one of the, you know, proposal things they're
discussing.
I like
to play devil's advocate on things, and I can't come up with a good reason why that is even something that they came up with. But
Yeah, because the traffic's less at early hours, so it seems like it's more convenient to have you out there at that time. But
agreed.
So that you brought up another point. So you got up at 3:30 in the morning, and then of course you wouldn't pick up the scooters up until 9 p.m. Isn't that a bit exhausting?
It is. It's taxing. That kind of probably fueled our decision to maybe charge less and come up with a little more flexible, fun thing and way to be involved with the phenomenon. Getting up. And the reason we did that was because the nests typically are only going to be claimed and released by one charger. So if there's other chargers in the area and we would release our birds by foot. We're not piling them into a car or a truck and driving around, which most chargers do because they don't necessarily live downtown. So for us, we take scooters out to a nest, and if all of a sudden that nest is gone from the time that we left our condo to walking a half a block or a block away, which would happen occasionally, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
So we want to get out, get them all done, and then, you know, get back to bed or get a really early day, start of the day.
Yeah, I've seen people out there with their cars unloading while I'm out early in the morning jogging around or whatever. It just seems interesting. How many would you have? What's the most scooters you've taken at one time to charge?
I think our record, this was a weekend day, probably a Saturday, was I think 42.
Wow.
And that was having 18 actual chargers to charge them with. They take about 5 hours to charge.
Okay.
And having, I started earlier in the day as they were going dead, so I was able to start picking them up, say, maybe 2 or 3 p.m. So they would kind of trickle in as they would go dead. By 5, 6 o'clock, I had a decent number of scooters that were charging. Those would be done by 10 p.m. We got a good number of scooters that were highly charged at 9 p.m., so there's a strategy to it. So at the end of the day, we had 2-plus cycles worth of birds that we charged that particular evening. So,
okay.
Of course, then you realize you have 42 birds you have to release in the morning.
Yeah, it seems like a little on foot in your
case. We would do that a lot. We would get so consumed with go and get the birds, and then the next morning, crap.
Yeah. There's chargers. So you're not just like plugging this into your wall at your place, right? It's a setup that they give you?
It's a charger that looks like probably anything else that you would expect to have. I mean, it's not unlike a charger for a laptop, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
And I'm using my hands to describe something for an audio show, but,
okay,
you know, it's maybe 8 inches long, 4 inches wide, couple inches tall, and it's got wires on both ends, and it plugs into a normal wall, and it's a little small plug that plugs into the side of the scooter. Of course, we now have 20 chargers. For 20 chargers, you need a couple of power strips to plug all that into.
Right.
And then one would think, well, that's a lot of power, and how much would your power bill go up to? But it's estimated they cost about 7 cents per night to charge for a full charge, and you're making minimum $5 on it. So really, the power consumption's nominal, but it's just a standard plug. You get done it in the morning, you throw them into a box, and at night, as you start to get more scooters to charge, you fish them out of the box.
And I hope all the 1099 contractor people out there doing this are writing off their electric bill, right? Is that legal?
I've got a tax guy, so we'll explain it to him. You know, we use a portion of our living room and, all this.
Yeah, exactly.
And for us, again, my fiance and I are getting married. We're getting married in San Diego in November. So our goal was to pay for half of our wedding with bird money.
Yeah.
Not counting taxes, of course. Taxes will take a decent chunk of that out. But the wedding costs continue to escalate, and we switched from charging and kind of took a break from that. So we won't actually make that goal. We got pretty close. I'm very happy with the efforts that we put in and made from it.
That's really smart.
Yeah, it's neat.
Anything I haven't asked you that you wanted to add?
For people that are listening that are riders, I just want to throw out there, while there might not be great facilities in Raleigh for riding around the streets, try and do so responsibly. If there's not a bike lane and there's not people on the sidewalk and you're riding on the sidewalk, be responsible. If the sidewalks are busy, maybe get off and walk for a little bit or just ride in the street. I think if you want scooters to stay in Raleigh and you don't want them to be very heavily regulated, I think it's really important that we try and be adults and humans and responsible on the scooters. The other day I was riding home on my one wheel, and I saw this lady riding a bird down McDowell, and not even like in the far left-hand lane. She was like in the middle of McDowell, had a helmet on, was dressed in professional outfit. She ended up turning left on, I forget what street it was, and it was on my way home. So I caught up to her on my one wheel. We're sitting in the right-hand lane at a stoplight about to cross over Dawson. And she's like, "Can you believe somebody just honked at me?" And I said, I can. And it was, unfortunately, had you been on the sidewalk, you probably would have gotten some flack as well. But you're doing what you're supposed to, because scooters currently are considered mopeds, yep. Even though they're not tagged, taxed, and licensed as such. But they're considered mopeds. You're actually supposed to drive them in the streets. I'd encourage people to not do that where it's busy. Try and choose bike lanes.
McDowell seems a bit brave to me.
Yeah. It was interesting looking. She was flying right along. She was relatively small, and she had the top speed going on that thing. She was going 15 miles an hour.
Good for her.
So,
but,
yeah, please be responsible.
I'll stick to the smaller streets myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's true even a little bit for bicycles. I've heard years cyclists saying people honk at them and get on the sidewalk and, you know, all that stuff. So I think there's just a lot of education that needs to happen on both sides.
There's a lot more awareness now, but there's still a lot of people that are riding very irresponsibly, and parents that are allowing their kids under 18 to ride them. And that's, currently the age is 18. I think that probably will change to 16, because if you can drive a car, why can't you legally ride a
scooter? Right. I assume that was an insurance thing, like with Bird's insurance company or something.
It may be. But regardless, there's kids much, much younger than 16 riding around on scooters, and you're supposed to scan your ID and have a credit card, and that's supposed to be how we kind of regulate who's on the scooters, and that's clearly failing in a lot of ways. So,
thanks again to Dylan for joining us, and we want to hear from you about scooters. Email us at inboundrally@gmail.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @inboundrally. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.